I'm Dylan Marma, and you're listening to Operators and Allocators, a podcast dedicated to exploring how to make smart investment decisions and execute well in real estate and private equity. We'll be interviewing top-notch sponsors from various asset classes to understand how they think and the frameworks that they put in place with the goal of achieving above-average risk-adjusted returns. Welcome back to another episode of Operators and Allocators. This is your host, Dylan Marma, and today we're in for a special show. This is going to be the first of a new mini-series that we are piloting right now, and I am joined with my co-host, Troy Trecros. Troy, how's it going?
Going well. How are you doing, Dylan?
Doing really good. Excited to have you here and really pumped to announce this to our listeners, as I think that everyone is in for a special treat and we plan on delivering a ton of value to you guys. So first, I'm going to give a little bit of an idea, a glimpse into what this show will be about. Then we're going to do a quick background because I know most of our shows up to this point have been me interviewing others. So I'm going to give a quick background. Troy will also do the same. And then we will dive into some of the nuts and bolts of what we plan on discussing today. So ultimately, we have received so many questions over the last few months about RV campground investing. It seems like this unique niche is, there's a lot of noise around it, a lot of people asking questions, a lot of people scratching their head, and there are not too many of what I consider to be middle market consolidators in this space yet, right? This is an industry right now that is primarily dominated through either the 3% of campgrounds that are owned by large public REITs mainly, and the 97% that are currently owned by mom and pops. This industry is often described as having parallels to where the self-storage industry was 10 to 15 years ago, and to where the mobile home park industry was 5 to 7 years ago. That in itself is something to be excited about. So our objective with this show is to launch a mini series that will give you everything that we know and all of the learning lessons that we're experiencing when it comes to the world of RV campgrounds. So quick background on me. I've been full-time in commercial real estate investing for the last 5 years, starting off with multifamily apartments. I thought I would be only apartment investing for the rest of my life. And I found myself at a point that I think many investors hit where I had more difficulty making sense of where pricing was at a certain point in the market. I always think there's a huge place in my heart and there's going to be a great investing opportunity in multifamily. But I really hit a wall where I said, hey, I think I see a lot more value in the mobile home park space. So after working on about 800 doors of multifamily apartments, running a vertically integrated company with in-house property management, took those skill sets and started to apply them to mobile home parks, forming the Requity Group, TRG. And that led us into the cousin of mobile home parks. I like to think of it as the other land lease business, which is RV campgrounds, which the big difference between RV campgrounds and mobile home parks being that RVs are generally, that's generally more of a hospitality business, though there's different types, which we'll discuss. And it right now is a lot less competitive and a little bit more operationally intensive, but has what I believe, we believe to be some of the most the best risk-adjusted returns available in commercial real estate today. So over the last 18 months, we've worked on over 1,200 sites of manufactured housing communities, as well as RV campgrounds. We currently own 6 RV campgrounds. We have another 2 closing next week, and we have a pipeline of additional RV campgrounds in the works. This is where we expect the majority of our acquisition activity will take place in the next 12 to 24 months, and we'll see where the future brings us, but we definitely have full plans on building a significant brand and platform around the industry. So that's my story. Troy, how about you give the listeners some background, since this is their first time hearing from you, and share what's got you so excited about the space?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is not quite as comprehensive as yours. So just 2 years ago, I started investing similar to Dylan in the multifamily space. And Dylan actually, he was my mentor 2 years ago, just getting into the space. So since then, you know, acquired a small apartment complex with a couple partners, as well as some LP investing into mobile home parks. And all the while been maintaining a relationship with Dylan. And, you know, he called me up maybe, I think it was like last year when I was deployed. So active duty military, but transitioning into real estate full time. Anyway, he called me up when I was deployed and said that he had an opening for an acquisitions position within the company, and wondered if I was interested. And I said, heck yeah, 100%. And then everything just kind of came to fruition that way. So, you know, relocated from California here to downtown Tampa, loving every second of it, loving the area, and 100% loving working for the company. The work is satisfying and rewarding. And, you know, we are just out here hustling and grinding, and I absolutely love it. It gets me jazzed up every day to wake up and come to work, which is quite refreshing. So I've become more familiar with the RV space probably within the past month and a half. So, you know, still learning a considerable amount on a daily basis. Thankfully, I get to sit right next to Dylan every single day and, you know, just get to pick his brain and have conversations about the space, specifically getting into the nitty gritty. And, you know, to me, from a learning perspective, it is gold. It's invaluable. So, yeah, like you said, we have a lot of investment activity going on right now. With regards to the RV space and mobile home parks as well. So, you know, we are grinding and learning and sharing what we learn, you know, in real time. So,
yeah, we're not here to pose as the experts in this space. This is a constant learning opportunity for us and for our investors and for all around us. I think this is a dynamic, real estate in itself is dynamic in terms of, you know, the movement of pricing, the different trends that take place. And I'd say RV campgrounds are a dynamic niche within this space. So we still have a tremendous amount to learn. And we hope that through facilitating this show, we will be some of our top students as well, as we believe teaching can be one of the highest forms of learning. So definitely looking forward to growing with all that are listening, and we hope you find a lot of value. So today, I know our focus is mainly to just start really high level. So Troy, what's on the agenda for today?
Today, just like you said, we're just going to touch on why we love the RV investing space generally. You know, we could dig into some of the more detailed factors that go into that, like the growth rate that we're seeing, the demand, and stuff like that. But, you know, I will say to start us off, when you told me, you know, what type of returns we get in the RV space, you know, compared to multifamily, which, you know, over the past 2 years in my modest experience has been, you know, diminishing returns seemingly. I was just shocked, dude. I'm talking 10 to 12 to 15%. And, you know, that got me intrigued. So I think generally, you know, RV campgrounds have a higher cap rate associated with them. You know, can you touch on maybe why that is?
Yeah. So the cap rates in the RV space have traditionally been on the higher side of most real estate types. If you were to look back a few years ago, it wasn't uncommon to find an RV campground advertised at a 10 to 12% cap rate. But that was also at a time where multifamily was advertised at maybe a 6 or 7, in addition to mobile home parks being an 8 and things along those lines, right? So cap rates as an industry in real estate, as we know, have compressed, right? So now in today's world, RV campground cap rates generally sit give or take around 8%. They can be lower, especially for lower risk campgrounds or campgrounds that have, of course, higher value add opportunities in place. And they can be higher for naturally higher risk or more transient campgrounds or campgrounds that have that are in worse locations, things along those lines. So as far as what's driving the cap rates are usually a measure of the risk, right? Risk-adjusted return, right? At least the perceived risk, I should say. And with RV campgrounds, you have cap rates that are higher than mobile home communities, mainly because they have a transient nature to them, right? It's similar to think of valuing apartments and hotels, right? Hotels always sit about 200 basis points higher than apartments do in terms of cap rates, right? And they always will because they should, because there is inherently some additional risk when it comes to having short-term leases, and there's additional volatility that's involved with the stream of cash flow, right? It's not every dollar of cash flow is not the same, right? You have to look at the stickiness of that revenue, and that's usually what's determining the cap rate. Now, within the RV campground space, I think you also have the fact that there are there are multiple types of campgrounds, and the industry in itself is still going through price discovery because there are not so many, there's not as much competition, not as many middle market consolidators. So in a sense, you find yourself in a position where the market is still discovering what the true pricing is. And I think there's some clear signs of that, because when you look at a long-term campground that has really sticky revenue and annual leases, sometimes where the entire lease is paid up front for the entire year versus the short term where they're mainly occupied by dailies. And to look at those cap rates and not see a clear spread and on market pricing just shows us that this market has a long, long way to go before truly maturing.
Yeah, that brings me to a question here. When I compare it to multifamily space, we know a lot of the larger financial institutions are scooping up properties. A lot of, you know, highly sophisticated investors and operators scooping up properties. How would that compare to like the RV campground space? So like being, you know, like you mentioned, highly fragmented, and where the opportunity mm-hmm. lies in that.
So right now there's just not nearly that much competition right now. And I think we have to always put the size of an industry into perspective. Based on the math that we've done, we find that the RV campground industry is not that far off from the size of the self-storage industry. And it is a bit smaller than that of the mobile home park industry. And when you look at these smaller alternative real estate niches, we will find that they do move quicker when people start to put eyes on them, right? You can see the cap rate compression that took place in the self-storage industry. You can see the cap rate compression that took place in the mobile home park industry. But even then, there's still alternative real estate assets. So you still don't have quite the same level of competition day to day. You don't see the same amount of hard money day one. You don't see some of the, you know, aggressive sales strategies that you see in, say, an industry like multifamily, because it is still an alternative real estate asset, and it still is. There still are a lot of mom and pop owners and off market deals for those that are willing to grind it out, pick up the phone, and make cold calls, do direct mail, things along those lines. And I think there always will be some element of that, though not as much. Now, within the RV campground space, again, you just don't have that same level of competition right now. We think that that level of competition may not come for a very, very long time. And it will take longer for this industry to consolidate than these other industries. Why? Because of the operations. Because when you look at campgrounds, this is a much more difficult business to operate than multifamily or self-storage. So when you take the operational intensity of this, and then you also take the fact that this is still an alternative asset type, there's not enough volume in any one market to actively have third-party management companies that are really well compensated for what they're doing, that means that the operations are probably going to fall back in the lap of the owner operators. And the owner, a lot of owner operators that are coming in from multifamily, where they're used to hiring large, you know, gray stars of the world and large third-party operators. Or if you take operators of self-storage or mobile home parks that, you know, again, there's, I'd say, only so many owner operators that are really, really active owner operators, right? They those can be easier asset classes to operate. So you take that and you're going to see a lot of people moving into the space, but then probably pulling back because of the operational intensity of it. So I think that in addition to being, you know, having access to capital, in addition to being able to spot a good acquisition opportunity, there's also the fact that you have to have your operations platform really dialed in, because this is at the intersection of business and of real estate and private equity. And it does have a pretty strong business component to it.
Right. Yeah. Very operationally intensive. And there are several, I know, kind of business models, if you will, as far as operations go, which, you know, we could dive into in another show. But I want to speak about what you've been seeing as far as industry growth as a whole. And, you know, it's just, I know really personally, I've heard a lot of, you know, anecdotal evidence ever since COVID happened of increase in the RV demand. Mm-hmm. But can you speak on maybe how long as an industry it's been growing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say that that's one of the bigger questions that I get asked from investors is typically, well, you know, 2020, I'm sure was the best year ever for these, for the RV industry. So how do we know we're not on the down cycle, the downswing of it, right? And I think when you look at the stats, you'll see that for the last few decades, I think it's since the 1970s, this industry, if you straight line the growth through either the spending at campgrounds or the number of RVs that are sold each year, this industry has been progressively improving for the last over 40 years, right? As a whole, this is becoming a larger trend in society, period. And I don't see that slowing down. There's not many signs of that slowing down. There's multiple studies that project a 7% compounded annual growth rate in this industry for the next 5 years, which is substantial for us. And then when you look at the actual performance of RV campgrounds, actually 2020 was a down year for them, because if you're not thinking back to it, you'll remember that there was 4 months of where everyone was scared to even walk out their front door. So they weren't even going in an RV because even that was too much to risk, right? So generally speaking, especially a lot of the shorter term campgrounds, they saw a down year in 2020, and then they usually saw an uptick a bit into 2021. And then 2022, we still seem to have a lot of forward momentum. But then let's look at the rest of the stats of what took place in 2021 and look at that as a future indicator of what may be able to take place these next 2 years, right? We're not about trying to predict the future, but we have a lot of indicators that tell us that at least the next few years are looking really, really attractive. So we look at 2021 and you'll see that RV campgrounds were at an all-time high with $8 billion in spending. And there were also over 600,000 RVs ordered last year. Out of those orders, there still remains a $14 billion backlog with Thor Motor Industries. We get calls every single day to our campgrounds that are saying, hey, I have a brand new camper coming in the next few months. I'd love to reserve a spot for the year, or I'd love to be able to book a weekend before my camper gets here. So why are we getting those calls? It's because these people have ordered campers, RVs that they haven't even received yet. And they realize that there's a shortage of supply when it comes to campgrounds as a whole, that they have to proactively start booking before they even receive their RV. If you speak with campers, you go to campgrounds, or if you're not personally a camper, you just go online and read the blogs and the YouTubes from folks that are active campers in the RV industry, you're going to see a constant theme that right now there is a shortage of RV spots, and being able to have that spontaneous weekend that a lot of RV folks really love to have, where they can pick up on a Friday and go to their favorite camp spot, that's going away. Generally, you're having to book several months out. We've even seen people booking over a year out at times because there is a shortage of supply and there's more demand than ever right now for RVers that are looking to get out and go camping. Let's look at some of the draws behind what's influencing this sort of growth. If you look at the, I think much of this is can be summarized in demographic shifts. And not to say COVID definitely had a huge part of this, and it definitely did accelerate the growth. It definitely moved it a few years forward in our eyes. But we do feel like we were trending in this direction either way, just largely because of demographic shifts. I think what might have been expected was that the baby boomers would have a huge impact on this, right? You have a lot of folks retiring, you have a lot of snowbirds, you have people that want that portability. So they're retiring and buying an RV or buying a park model home and having a second home. And you know, that's leading to an increase in occupancy. But I think what somewhat came as a surprise was that millennials actually became the even bigger demographic to start driving this this shift, right? And maybe it's because they're just growing up in a world of so much technology, they wanted a way to be able to disconnect. I think a huge part of this is because of what we call the experience economy, where there's a change in just values between generations. And you know, if you look at the blueprint for success 30 years ago, it was go to a good school, get a good job, work for 40 years in that career. While you're at it, you know, pay off your student loans, then buy a house and buy a nice car, and you're sort of keeping up with the Joneses. And I think that you're seeing less of that now, and people are not valuing as much those, you know, the big fancy luxury brands and you know the things nearly as much, and they're going towards spending more money on experiences, right? They're valuing time with their friends and their family and getting out and, you know, realizing that those are the true assets that we have in life. So I think you're seeing a huge shift towards the experience economy, more spending on true, you know, experiences. There's plenty of studies that show that. And then let's not also mention that you see work from home being a real thing that is clearly here to stay. People valuing portability, and now with the enhancements in Wi-Fi technology and fiber and soon to be Starlink, right? You have a lot of these various technologies that allow for good internet, allowing you to work on the road. You also have electric vehicles on the rise. I know that Airstream just launched their first electric Airstream. You also have Ford coming out with the first pickup truck, electric pickup truck, that's going to be able to help tow fifth wheels around for the RVs. So you have just a lot of factors at play influencing this growing demand.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's a lot there that we covered, I believe, for an overview initial episode. You know, we touched on why we love the space in general, the demand, the growth within the industry, the fragmentation that the industry provides, or the fragmented nature of the industry, some of the typical cap rates that we're seeing, and generally the opportunity in the space compared to other asset classes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. So again, really hope you got some good stuff out of this show. If you have questions or comments, definitely reach out to us. You can always visit our website in the show notes. We are doing this for you guys, and we anticipate launching a several part mini series where we're deep diving into all different aspects of this industry, from what are the operating expenses? What are the major risks? What are the different types of RV campgrounds? This is not a super simple business as much as we value simplicity, but we're going to do our absolute best to boil it down into something that can be simple to understand and can be applicable, whether you're an active investor looking to diversify and get into your first RV campground or become an operator, or if you're a passive investor that is looking to just understand this space well enough to feel confident in backing operators. We hope that this will be a lot of value to you. So thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Thanks for tuning in and joining us on another episode of Operators and Allocators, hosted by The Requity Group, a vertically integrated private equity real estate company. You can find recordings of all shows along with other resources on our company website, therequitygroup.com, also listed in the show notes. A brief disclaimer to our listeners. Information presented herein is for discussion and illustrative purposes only and is not a recommendation or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell any securities. All investments are subject to risk and past performance is no guarantee of future results. The views and opinions expressed by the Requity Group speaker are their own as of the date of the recording. Any such views are subject to change at any time based upon market or other conditions. We hope to see you next week.